News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. Good morning. I'm Steve Evans. In studio with us is Yankton Johnson. Yankton is the general manager of the Moon Lake Electric Association. With him also is Colin Peterson, the public relations officer for Moon Lake Electric Association. And today, for the next few minutes, we're going to be talking about the future of energy in the Uinta Basin. Yankton, welcome to the studios.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. First of all, can you tell us, I mean, when we flip on a light switch, we really don't think about where power comes from. Can you define what a cooperative is? Moon Lake Electric Association is a cooperative. And what is the difference between a cooperative and maybe like Rocky Mountain Power?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm glad you brought up that point. I mean, 98% of the time we try to educate our membership that 98% of the time they go to flip the switch on their at their home on their switch, their light switch, and the power's on. Uh-huh. And we take a lot of pride.
What
in
is that? 99% of the time?
98% of the time.
98. Yeah, so there's a 2%
chance that they
chance
won't
that
have,
you won't. Oh.
They won't have power. So okay. Yeah, we take a lot of pride in that, and that's kudos to our employees and how proud they are to wear the Moon Lake logo on their chest and make sure that we're always supplying power for our membership. Back to your original question on what's a cooperative. Moon Lake is a cooperative. I'm glad you mentioned that. And it's important to highlight what a cooperative is, so I appreciate the question. Basically, what a cooperative means is that we are owned by our members. So Moon Lake's employees and our membership is governed by a board of directors, and we have 7 directors that are voted in 7 different districts. We have a great board. We appreciate what they do for us and keeping us on track. And the board meets once a month with the management team, and we discuss the issues and the future of Moon Lake, and we really appreciate what they do for the organization as well. Anytime we have margins, by definition, a co-op, anytime we have margins, we allocate that back to our membership. And on occasion, we try to refund it to our membership as well.
Margins, you mean profit margins?
Profit margins, exactly. Okay. So anytime we have profit margins, we allocate that back to our membership. And then we try to do refunds. We weren't able to do a refund this year. The thought process behind that was that we wanted to invest that money into the infrastructure of bringing capacity to our system. We currently have a capacity constraint in our service territory, and we thought it would be better to invest, or when I say we, the board, discussed this and believed that it was in the best interest of the co-op this year to invest that money back into infrastructure, excuse me.
Yeah, capacity constraints we are anticipating unprecedented growth in the Uinta Basin, and with the advent of the railroad, Duchesne County is going to be impacted more than any other county in the system here in the 7 County Infrastructure Coalition region. Do we have the capacity to meet the growing demands of our area, the power capacity?
Great question again, and the short answer to that is currently no, we don't. But we are working on.
So that's why you wanted to invest it back into the
correct.
The infrastructure.
That's correct. We currently have a major project that we are working on. We've been working on it for the last 4 or 5 years. We hope to complete it in either the fall of 2024 or the spring or summer of 2025. Supply constraints and different things are continuing to push that out. But it's a 47-mile line that we are building from the Bonanza plant to south of our office. And with that, we're hoping to bring an additional anywhere from 80 to 100 megawatts for our system.
What is the current capacity right now?
We currently are using 146 megawatts on our system. So we're nearly doubling that with the new construction of this line.
And with the new construction of the line, you will be able to meet the power needs of the future.
That's correct. It's a little more complicated and convoluted than that. Getting the power to south of our office is the first step. But then we got to branch it out to the areas where there are constraints on our system.
And that's a lot of construction.
That's a lot of construction.
And I'm just assuming, Yankton Johnson, that this is going to be a lot of money.
Yeah, great assumption there, and that causes us some stress and anxiety, and I think that goes back to what I said earlier about the board and reinvesting this year's patronage allocation. Instead of doing a refund for our membership, we just felt like it was best, in the best interest of our members, to invest that into this line. And we're looking at about a $40 million project on this line.
Oh, my gosh. I would imagine that if the members understood this, as you've just explained it, that they would understand that that would be the best investment use of those margins, as you described it.
Absolutely. And that's why we appreciate you giving us some time to try to get this out to our membership. I mean, we'd be open and happy to discuss any questions our members have. Just stop by the office. We can explain it in detail, what we're doing, what we're thinking. This line that I've talked about, we've built 5 miles, and that was in 2017 and 2018. The average price per mile of line in 2017 and 2018 was roughly $500,000 per mile. Okay. Line. So if you do the math,
and it's probably gone up since then,
and it's nearly
doubled.
Thank you,
Biden inflation, right?
Yeah. So it's really causing some constraints on this project. But we feel like it's something. It's a necessity for future growth in the basin, as you mentioned. And we're all in at this point. We finalized the financing on this just about a month ago, and we took advantage, thanks to our great accounting team. We took advantage of low interest rates. Mm-hmm. We were able to seal the deal on this. At 3.28%. 4 weeks later, it jumped to 5.2%.
Okay.
So that was a humongous savings to our membership by being able to seal the deal on this financing, on the financing of this project before the rate hike took place.
Okay. So you have financing to complete the project now? Or how far into it?
So we have financing to do the engineering and the construction of the project.
Okay.
We're going to need some assistance, and we're shouting out to the state and Oil Patch and whoever we can to try to get some additional dollars to throw at this, because once we get the line built, the real challenge is getting it out, as I mentioned earlier, to the areas on our system that have constraints.
You mentioned the Oil Patch. The wells, electrifying wells, is that an ambition for many of the oil and gas companies?
It is, and primarily in the winter months, due to the emissions issue that we're dealing with in the Uinta Basin. When we get inversions in the basin, obviously none of us want to breathe bad air and live in a community that's
right.
Contaminated.
And that's we have beautiful blue skies here.
Yeah.
There is no bad air here. unless the fires are coming up from southern Arizona, or California goes on fire again.
And that does certainly add to it. I mean, our goal is to electrify everything that we can. We're in the business to sell power. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have anything on the shelf, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're working towards getting for our membership producing some capacity there.
Yankton Johnson, what percentage of your capacity is residential and business, and what is industrial?
For example,
the oil and gas industry. They use a lot of the power that you supply, right?
They do. And if we break that down in terms of revenue, it's a little different than in terms of percentage of power. Mm-hmm. But if I break that down in terms of revenue, 63% of our revenue comes from industrial load. That's a big number.
I would assume that 63% use also.
That's correct. I mean, it doesn't flow 1% to 1% when you talk use to revenue, but it's close. Mm-hmm. And so they're a big part of who we are. We appreciate the business that they give us. We also have about a 15% load on commercial, which is usually the school districts in our service territory, the Jubilees and the Stewart Marketplace and the likes of those organizations and companies. And then we have 16% residential that's made up of our revenue. And then there's factored in a few other sources of revenue, but that's the primary buildup. I failed to mention, I think we have 2% irrigation.
Biden is printing money as fast as he can possibly print it, and the Renewable Act. How much money is available? Is there money available for grants for infrastructure? I know that a lot of this is being kicked back to the state for infrastructure. Can we use some of those funds for infrastructure?
Yeah, I wish the answer to that was yes, and I'm assuming that there probably is some funds available, but the Biden administration has earmarked those funds for infrastructure primarily towards electric vehicles. As we've read it and understood it, electric vehicles, he's earmarked a ton of money towards renewable energy.
Okay.
And he's earmarked some money towards fiber optics. And so that doesn't really help our case.
No, it doesn't. Could you break down on the grid in America, or from your grid, where energy is coming from? Petroleum? What percentage of petroleum?
Yeah, on a national scale, petroleum is about 37%.
Okay.
Of the source of energy consumption. We're talking consumption here. Petroleum's 37%.
All right. What about coal?
Coal's right there below it. I mean, I think coal's 34%.
Okay, so we're 72-73%, right? Roughly.
Correct.
With fossil fuels. And then what about wind and solar?
So there's one other element there that we don't see in our service territory, but nuclear plants is about 8%.
Okay.
And then the balance of that is what we refer to as renewable energy is 11%. If you carve out, in my opinion, if you carve out the fossil fuel source that electrifies America, you've got roughly 11% to get the job done. And I think we need to be realist about this. I'm not saying we're anti-renewable. However, it is a concern that the big push to go 100% renewable will eventually roll us into potential blackouts and brownouts.
And recession.
Yes.
And an economic recession, which is what we're facing right now.
Yeah, and that's real scary for us. I mean, we're trying to plan and do everything we can to mitigate that. A couple things that we're looking at, one is, and when I say we, I'm talking about our wholesale power provider in Deseret Power.
Is that where you get majority of your
power
from?
That's where we get our power
Deseret
from.
Power.
That's correct.
Okay.
And those folks are doing everything they can within their power to try to come up with other sources to help offset the demand as we see it coming in our crystal ball in the near future. One is a microgrid that they have put in place. It's a natural gas microgrid that they have. They're right near completion of the construction phase of this. That will provide 15 megawatts of power on our system through Deseret Power. And we're looking at pursuing options of microgrids in our service territory as well. One that we have, Deseret has interest, and so do we with Moon Lake, is in the Rangeley service territory. I mean, obviously you have to have a natural gas main pipeline close by to make this work.
Right. What is the total service area of service territory of Moon Lake Electric? Geographically, if you could just kind of paint a picture in our minds.
Yeah, we're 7,337 square miles. So we're a big system. We have over 4,000 miles of line. If you equate that by our membership or our meters, total meters, that's about 6 members per mile of line. We start at the top of Daniel Summit Lodge, and we go all the way through to the east to Western Colorado and Rangeley, Colorado. You carve out Vernal.
Okay.
And we cover everything in between.
Everything with the exception of Vernal proper.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
That is a big territory. It's a big region.
It is.
And does Deseret Generation, now do you have solar power or renewable power in the portfolio of Deseret Generation?
So we have that coming down the pipe, and it's hot off the press. That's something that we're really excited about, as is Deseret. They have earmarked 70 acres over at the Bonanza plant. I believe it's just to the south and east corner of the Bonanza plant that they are going to put, as we speak, I believe they're unloading solar units. They're hoping that this project will bring an additional 12 to 20 megawatts of power to our system.
Yeah, renewables aren't bad, but we need to keep them into realistic perspective here. So anyway, Yankton, is there any final comments that you'd like to make? Any thoughts that you'd like to leave with our community?
You know, we appreciate our membership. We have a huge membership. We just had our annual meeting. That's a fun time. We give away
lots of prizes, don't
we? Give away a lot of prizes.
You know, I wish I was a member of your cooperative.
Come on,
I wish
over,
we could.
Steve.
I can still come to your picnic.
Yes, you can. We fed over 800 people just a couple weeks ago. We had over 100 or right at 100 at our business meeting where we talked about a lot of these very issues. And it's just a good time. We enjoy our members. I want to thank our board for all the time and effort they put into to manage and help manage and Moon Lake, and obviously a huge shout out to our employees. We got the best employees around.
All right. Yankton Johnson, General Manager of Moon Lake Electric Cooperative. I appreciate you joining us this
Thanks,
morning.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you.
Thank you.